Well, that's exciting to see all the children. That's the future of the church and our youth, the youth that you've got, and young adult. My goodness, it's good attendance this morning. I'm excited. Brother David keeps me posted on what God's doing here with you, and we just rejoice with you. It's good to see God at work. And I do thank you, Marianne, and I thank you very much for your support of Little River Baptist Association. You have been a blessing to us through the years, and we appreciate that very, very much. I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to John chapter 10. We're going to focus on verse 10, and that will be our key verse. But just keep your Bibles open because we're going to be moving over into chapter 11 also, just a little bit later on in the message. When Jesus is sharing these precious words that he shares with his disciples and those that are standing around him, it may have seemed a little bit strange to those that was listening because he talked about being able to give them life. And I'm sure they felt like that they were in the fullness of life, all those that were gathered around there. But we realize that Jesus was sharing about a different life rather than just the physical life that we have. You know, as I look around this morning, I see that everyone here is alive. Some a little more livelier than others, but everyone is alive. We have physical life. But that's not the life that Jesus was talking about. For you see, over in Ephesians, the second chapter and verse 1, Paul reminds the Christians at Ephesus when he says, "But you, he hath quickened." And that word quickened means to make alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." So they were alive physically, but they, Paul said, were dead spiritually. That spiritual life is what Jesus is talking about in chapter 10:10 of John. Listen to what he says. He says, "The thief, he cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have the life, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So Jesus said, it's not enough just to have physical life. We know that's true about all of us here today, that we have physical life. That's evident we're here. But it could very well be that you could be here today and be physically alive and still be spiritually dead. Jesus said, I want to understand that what Satan wants to do is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. What I want to do is to give you a life that can be an abundant life. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to understand just exactly what Jesus meant about an abundant life. For you see, in our society today, when we start thinking about abundance, we start thinking about things. We start thinking about material things. Maybe it's building up a bigger checking account, or maybe it's all the toys that we enjoy. And, you know, about the only difference between our kids' toys and us adults' toys is the way they cost, you know. But we still have those things, and that's our mindset today. But Jesus wasn't talking about abundance in material things. He was talking about things that is of far greater value. He's talking about peace and joy and fulfillment, and being able to live each day in victory. Now, to help us understand that, I want us to look at what happened in the life of Lazarus. So if you're still at John chapter 10, just turn over to John chapter 11. And when you get to John chapter 11, we have our introduction to Lazarus. In verse 1, chapter 11, he says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Now, Bethany was not far out from Jerusalem. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were very close friends with Jesus. We know from the study of scriptures that often Jesus would stay with them at their home when he was in that area. They were very close. Now, I'll not read all this chapter. You can read it any other time, but just let me kind of paraphrase what happened. Lazarus becomes sick, deathly sick. And they send word to Jesus, who is yet a good ways away, down in Galilee, and he's ministering. And the word comes to Jesus that Lazarus is sick. Now his disciples are in a quandary because if he goes back into Judea, they're wanting to put him to death there. And yet, at the same time, they know the bond that he has between Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And yet, Jesus tarries, the Bible says, still doing the ministry that he's doing, until finally the word comes that Lazarus is dead. And Jesus shares with his disciples and makes his journey back. Now, before he gets back to Bethany, the word is already coming that Jesus is on his way. And then Mary and Martha are greatly concerned. They go out to meet Jesus. Martha goes and shares with Jesus. And Jesus said, "But Martha, don't you understand that whosoever believeth in me, though he may be dead, will live again?" And Martha was concerned. She said, "Yes, Lord, I know that at the end time, the resurrection," she said, "but Martha, if you believe in me, he that is dead shall live again." And then Martha goes and tells Mary, and Mary comes, and he shares the same thing with Mary. And then he asked her, "Where have you laid him? Where have you placed him?" They took Jesus, along with a great crowd of people that had gathered at the home of Lazarus in mourning, and they followed Jesus out to what we would say would be the cemetery. It was probably about just a garden area. There was a grave that had been dug back into the stones, and he had been laid back in there, and stone had been rolled up to the front, a sillet. Very similar to the same place where they placed Jesus when he was crucified. And Jesus is standing there. The crowd is around him. And he begins to weep. The only time that we find that Jesus actually wept, we find him mourning when he looked out over Jerusalem the last time that he came into Jerusalem. But here he's weeping. And then he begins to pray. And he prays out loud to the Father so that the Father would not only hear him, he knew that he would hear him, but he wanted the people around him to hear the prayer that he was praying so that they would know that the response that was about to take place was coming from the power of God. And so Jesus begins to pray, and he does so. And he continues in this time until finally he reaches the point when he asked them to roll the stone back from the entrance to that old tomb. Verse 41. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." Now remember, when he rolled away the stone, they've been very doubtful about this. In fact, they said, "Lord, you know that he's been dead 4 days, and he's already stinking." It didn't matter to Jesus. He knew what was about to take place. And so when you get to the next verse now, in verse 43, Jesus speaks, and literally he calls forth, and he says, "Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth." Now, I want to share with you something about this. There are two great important reasons he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Number one, he was dealing with Lazarus on a personal basis. When God begins to deal with us, he deals with us on a personal basis. He knows you. He created you. He knows you better than anybody else. And when God begins to work in our hearts through the power of his Holy Spirit, he begins to work with each and every one of us, and he does it personally. Listen, when you accept him, he becomes your Lord and Savior. He's your personal Savior. He's with you. So he calls directly to Lazarus on a very personal basis. But secondly, if he had just said, "Come forth," then everybody in the graveyard would come forth. That was the power of God. So he speaks to Lazarus, and he says, "Lazarus, come forth." Now remember what Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." What happens? Well, verse 44 says, "And he that was dead," Lazarus, "and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Now you can kind of get a mental picture of what's happening. Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come forth. And back in the back of that tomb, there's a little bit of a rustling and there's a noise that's going on, and the people are really in a quandary as to what's happening. And all of a sudden, the shape begins to appear, and it's a Lazarus. Now, the Bible says he's wrapped in grave clothes. Now, if you want to get a picture of a mummy, that's okay too, but it's probably not like that. He was probably just wrapped around with big sheets. But he was bound. Not only that, the Bible says there was a napkin that was over his face, which was a common thing in those days. And he wobbles out to the entrance of that cave. Now, he has life. He has given his life back. He was dead, but now he's been made alive. Folks, that's a spiritual picture of what happens to us. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 2:1, you are dead. You are dead, dead, dead in trespasses and sin. But now he has made you alive. Oh, Lazarus was dead physically, but now he's been made alive physically, but also spiritually. But he's been made alive physically for a reason, that others might believe and have spiritual life. But it was not just enough that he be alive. He was still bound. He still had the grave clothes wrapped around him. He couldn't function. He couldn't live like that. So Jesus says, loose him and set him free. Abundant life begins when we are set free from all the bondage in this life that holds us back. For some, it seems that we believe that just having salvation is enough. Just being alive, and certainly if that's all there was, it would be enough, but that's not all there is to it. What God expects of us is from that time when we accept him into our life to begin to live an abundant life in him. Now then, old Lazarus had been brought forth, but he was still surrounded by the grave clothes. He still had the stench of death upon him. Though he was alive, it wasn't an abundant life. The sad thing is today that you can have spiritual life. You may have been at that point in your life when you've asked Christ to come into your life, and he does so. He saves you, but you still may be in bondage to the old life. You may still have the stench of the old life upon you. And that's not what God desires. God's desire is that we break free from that old life and move into this realm of abundant life, that we can know the joys that is ours from walking day by day with him. So he said, loose him and set him free. They began to take the grave clothes off of old Lazarus. And Lazarus then began to have the freedom that God intended for him to have. The first step, after we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, outside of our public commitment and walking through baptism, outside of that, we begin our fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. If you're not walking with him, if you're not fellowshipping with him, you've missed one of the great joys of being his child. And so what happens to Lazarus? They loose him. They set Lazarus free. And then the next thing that we find is that they move from the cemetery back to the house. And we find the next thing we find is Lazarus. And he's with Jesus. Over in chapter 12, we find 6 days now. They're back at Lazarus, back in Bethany, and they're with Lazarus, and there they are in a time of great fellowship. And we find Lazarus now at the table with Jesus. Adrian Rogers says what happened was he moved from the tomb to the table. He moved from the time of just having life to having the joys of life in fellowship with the Master. Can you imagine what it would have been like just to sit down at the table with Jesus? or just to sit and listen to Jesus, just to kind of soak in all that he could share with us. That comes from fellowshipping with him. That comes from being in the Word with him. That comes from communing with him in prayer and being thankful for the life that he gives unto us and knowing the joys that are ours to walk with him day by day by day. Old Lazarus was just soaking it all up. He had moved from the tomb to the table. And that's where he wants to take us from. From the point of just not just giving us life, but moving us into the realm of abundant life, that we can fellowship with him day by day by day. We can rely upon him to give us the strength that we need when we need strength that nothing else can give us. How do we face the trying times of life? How do we face those tragedies that comes in life and they're going to come? How do we weather the storms of life that are sure to come? There's only one way, and that's with the strength that he gives us through his presence within us by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, but not just life, that you might have abundant life. And it begins in this time of great joy and celebration that we have with the Lord Jesus. When you drop down to verse 9 of chapter 12, Lazarus is about to go through another trial. In verse 9 it says, much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom had been raised from the dead. Now if you keep on reading in verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. When you start living the abundant life, Satan's going to counterattack. When you try to walk close to God, Satan's going to bring every obstacle in his path that he can to stop you from becoming more and more of what God wants you to be. He will bring all types of temptations into your life. He will strive at any possible way to stop your testimony that you have towards God. Now, Lazarus was a living testimony. Man, they had been there. They had seen him come out of that grave. They'd seen him in his grave clothes. They knew that he'd been dead 4 days, but now he was alive. What a testimony. But you and I have the same one. We were dead in sin, but now we're made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to be telling it. But when you start, Satan is going to come at you. So now then they're saying, look, old Lazarus is a threat to us. We need to put him to death too. We don't know, not only do we need to get rid of Jesus, but now we need to get rid of Lazarus also, because of his witness that he has. But they're fighting a losing battle, because the Bible teaches us something. The Bible shares with us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when we're walking with Jesus, and when we're in his will, that's the safest place on earth to be. Because whatever comes into our life is going to have to come through his permissive will. And if he allows it, he knows what's best. And when we begin to grow in that abundant life and our faith becomes strong, then we begin to see that we're living a life under the direction, and that he really does orchestrate our steps, as the psalmist says. And we begin to say, look, Lord, I don't understand it, but I accept it. And I know that you know best in my life. And I claim that power that you've given me through the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, the abundant life is the strength that God gives us to live every day of life for his honor and for his glory. No, we're not perfect. Satan knows that, and he knows our weaknesses. But we also know that the Bible is very clear that nothing is laid on us more than what God is not able to give us the strength to stand. So whatever comes in life, we know that we live it by the power of Almighty God that lives within us. So then we begin to experience that. We've been with a family this weekend. Many of you would know him, Benny Simmons. He's the sheriff over in Sevier County. Melanie, his precious wife, had a stroke almost 2 weeks ago now. They made the decision, when was that, honey, Friday night, to take her off all the support. We were there with them. And I'm telling you, I could see and sense their faith that they have in knowing they've made the right decision by putting her into the hand of God and accepting whatever happens. Now, Melanie is still alive, if you want to call it living. She's breathing, but she has her brain is in such damage still she can't respond to anything. She's just there. But the family keeps assuring me, God knows best. And whatever God has for us, that's what we want. You see, that's part of the abundant life. When you have that type of strength within that comes from His presence, and that type of faith to believe that God knows best in every situation, and you become willing to accept it, then you begin to grow in that abundant life. And you continue to grow and grow as you continue to fellowship and walk with Him day by day. But then there's going to be a time of celebration. I don't know what happened that evening after Lazarus had been raised out of the dead. I know what happened later. 6 days later, they were still celebrating. I don't know what happened. But somehow in the back of my mind, I sensed that there was a time of jubilation, a time of joy. Lazarus had been restored. Why don't you understand something? There's coming a time when we're going to enter into His presence. Now, He's with us now. But there's coming a time when this old physical body is going to pass. And we're going to enter into His eternal presence if you're a child of God. And I want you to understand something. There's going to be a great celebration then. When all of God's children, as we sing, gets home, there will be a great celebration in His presence. John 10:10. Satan has come but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You may be here today and you've experienced life in Him, but you're not experiencing the abundant life. You've never really committed yourself to let go of all that past life. You may still be bound by some of the sins of your past life. You're still carrying the grave clothes of the past. I want you to know that Jesus wants to set you free. He said, if you know the truth will set you free. And He said that He was the truth. You can be set free from the bondage that you might be in today. But you may be here today and you're just alive physically. You've never experienced that new life that comes in Jesus. You're truly the walking dead. You may be walking physically, but you're dead spiritually. And this day, Jesus wants to make you alive. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you eternal life with Him. Do you know it? Are you serving Him? Are you living for Him? Do you have that abundant life? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the promises of Your precious word. Thank You, Father, that we can have more than just salvation. We can have an abundant life with You. And the promise of a future, an eternity to share with You. Thank You for that. God, I pray today if there's one person here today that has never experienced that. Maybe they're in the same place where Nicodemus was when he came to our Lord by night and wanting to know. And Jesus had to share with Nicodemus, you must be born again. Maybe they're at that same point, Father. And I pray that you would just, through your Holy Spirit, encourage them to accept you. Or maybe, Father, there is your child that is here, and yet we're still just kind of held back because of the past life and because of sins that seems to be so hard to shake. But, Father, I thank you that you've promised us strength to overcome. And, Father, thank you for the ones who are living in that abundant life. Lord, would you just have your way in the invitation time? Whatever you desire to do, Father, we want you to do it. And we praise you for what you're going to do in the name of Jesus.